At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week, start of the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'm Ryan Balogi. It's good to have you here with us. We're going to get into the opening lines for the BMW Championship this week. We'll touch a little bit on at least the men's side of the ISPS Handa World Invitational, which is the DP World Tour's return. And that's in Northern Ireland. That's an event where there are two concurrent 144-player events between the DP World Tour and a combined Ladies European Tour and LPGA event. For whatever reason, I haven't seen the odds for the LPGA, which is really weird. They have them up for the DP World Tour. So we'll, I guess, touch on that a little bit here during today's show. And then we'll get on, I guess, the LPGA side a little bit more tomorrow. But really, the focus is going to be on this week and the BMW Championship. So looking at the opening lines, looked at them this morning. It's about, you know, 3 in the afternoon when we put this together. Trying to work on shifting the schedule of the work that I do around fantasy to start it a little bit earlier. So start things on Sunday afternoon to get stuff out there for the next week and bump everything up a day. I think that'll be better. I think it's better for you. I think it's better for me. I think it's better just to get it out in front of people as quickly as possible. So I'm going to try to start that this week, but we only have a couple weeks left in this season, and then we get into the fall. So for the fall, we will kind of experiment a little bit more with having the modeling done on Monday and all of the top 10 and when it done picks, betting odds, all that stuff done on Sunday or Monday as soon as it's available, and try to spread that out a little bit differently. But this podcast will still be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll have, you know, our opening show like we do each and every week, where we talk about the opening lines here, the first picks, first clicks, so to speak, for the PGA Tour event, and go on from there. So this week, we're at Olympia Fields Country Club for the BMW Championship. 50 players in the field, top 50 in the FedEx Cup points. Everybody who gets into this event gets into all of the designated slash signature events next year. There's 8 of them, and that's a pretty big deal in terms of financial earning capacity. And there's the carrot this week that if you get into the top 30, you get into the Tour Championship, you get into all 4 majors next year, guaranteed. You also get a opportunity, at least at winning the $18 million for the FedEx Cup. You're going to earn at least $500,000 bonus by getting in there. So there's a lot of money at stake here, but also some access to a lot of tournaments is on the line. So lots to play for here. Again, no cut. 4 cracks at this. This venue hosted this tournament 3 years ago in the COVID era when, you know, fans weren't really allowed anywhere. And the only takeaway that I had from that week was how brutal Olympia Fields was. There was a day when I think it got particularly windy, but overall, the fairways were narrow, the rough was deep, it was hard to score, you had to put the ball in play. And from the sounds of things, our Chuck Garbedian, who's a friend of ours, hopefully we'll have a show on GNN Radio soon, but he's up in the Wisconsin area, played the media day for the event recently and just tweeted at me this morning and said, it's going to be pretty difficult. So I would expect very similar conditions, deep, thick, rough, longer golf course, you know, probably 7,300 yards. It did host the 2003 U.S. Open. It is a very capable venue of hosting big-time championships. It's hosted USAMs. It's not for the weak of heart. This is going to be a difficult scoring week. That all said, let's look at the top of the board, and we'll try to pick out a couple of folks based on either course history or current form that just kind of stand out right away. Rory McIlroy leads the pack 6-1, had a great week last week, finished with a birdie to get one short of the playoff between Patrick Cantlay and Lucas Glover, who is all of a sudden one of the best golfers on the planet. Scottie Scheffler is plus 700 coming off of a second consecutive week outside the top 20 in the finish. That's not disturbing. I mean, The guy's been in the top 12 pretty much every start all year, like 19 in a row, and then he has two where it doesn't happen. You're like, but really, that's not that bad. Patrick Cantlay is 9-1. He's won this event 2 years running. But you also, and he played this event pretty well 3 years ago. But I think people are going to be clouded in their judgment because they go, oh, he goes for a three-peat, but three different venues. That's one, very difficult to do. And two, there's really not a whole lot of continuous DNA between the three courses. I mean, this is going to be the most difficult from tee to green. Last year, I'd argue, was the second most difficult at Wilmington Golf and Country Club. Really nice venue. And then, no offense to my hometown area when it was in Baltimore, but that venue is nothing. I mean, it's nothing like the other two in terms of scoring, in terms of difficulty. I mean, those guys tore it up. So at Caves Valley. So I think don't necessarily try to assume because he's won the last two, he's going to win this one. I think that's going to be a misnomer out there. But he did play well last week. He does seem to play well in these events that sort of matter, but don't really, that they're money-driven. He plays well in the playoffs, very, very well in the playoffs. John Rahm won at this venue 3 years ago, won against Dustin Johnson in the playoff, made a 55, 60-foot bomb to beat him in the playoff, and that was huge. And I think people are going to then take the wrong thing away from 3 years ago. Like, oh, he won in a very difficult venue. We should like him again. But he's clearly not playing well. I think we may have established that the Open Championship may have been the outlier. I mean, it's what he's capable of. But is in the terms of his current performance, really since winning the Masters, this is kind of the outlier, not what happened in Memphis where he was just solidly middle of the pack. Victor Hovland's 14-1. I really like him this week. He basically just won a few months ago in a venue like this. If you think Memorial, which had very deep rough, very tight landing areas, firm and fast, I think you're going to see a lot of parallels to this week at Olympia Fields. I like that at 14-1. Xander Schauffele, 16-1. Skip. Tommy Fleetwood, 20-1. I really like him this week, and I tweeted, you know, he's going to win by two this week. Again, he's number one in the U.S. He has continuously, consistently gotten close to winning, and he just can't put it away. I mean, he should have won this event in Memphis. He missed a couple of short ones where you're like, come on. Like, even accomplished junior golfers would make those putts. And he just kind of booted his way out of it. Tyrrell Hatton didn't really show up last week. He's 22-1. Max Homa did. He's 22-1. I will take him. Colin Morikawa is going to be a popular pick this week. 22-1. And I think for good reason. Jordan Spieth had a really nice week last week. He's 25-1. But he's just so erratic off the tee. I mean, he made a mess of the final hole, 72nd hole. He does this all the time. He's got bad judgment of what his body does in these situations where you can win, where the adrenaline takes over. And he, you know, nukes greens and hits bad drives, and it's not polished enough for me to be able to bet on him at 25-1. Ricky Fowler, Lucas Glover, Hideki Matsuyama, thank you. I will take Hideki Matsuyama. Cameron Young, I'll take him. They're all 30-1. Cam Young has been playing great. I think this venue will fit his game a little bit better than Memphis' TPC Southwind is just a course that's, I mean, it's a ball strikers course, yes, in concept, but it's not really the best for a longer hitter because everything is just a dog leg. You play a dog leg in the water on the inside, a bunker on the outside, or vice versa. That kind of golf is very difficult for a longer player to play when they know they can reach everything. They know they can find all the trouble because it's built just for them. So something to keep aware of. I think that Cameron Young will play better. This week, Hideki Matsuyama has been playing sneaky well. He played well here in 2020. I really like his chances this week. Your 35s, lots of them. Brian Harman, Jason Day, Russell Henley, who is playing well. Sungjae Im, starting to piece it together. Tom Kim, 35-1. Tony Finau and Wyndham Clark, all 35-1. I really want Sungjae to play well. I'm a big fan of his. I would like to see Russell Henley do well. I think he's played well the last couple weeks. I probably will put a little bit on him. He's not the longest hitter. As long as he can keep it in play, things can happen, but that's a big asterisk. Corey Connors is 40-1. I think he's probably a better pick. I mean, I know I've said I like Russell Henley, but he's probably a better pick in this spot. Sam Burns, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Justin Rose. Ben on, all 45-1 of those. Frankly, I would pick Ben on. He's a better ball striker. Justin Rose had a very nice final round in Memphis, so maybe you take a positive from that. He has done well in tougher venues. He's obviously won a U.S. Open. Maybe you take something from that. Cam Davis is 50-1, had a really nice week, continues to play well, played his way into the playoffs and then into this leg. So, you know, he's doing well in recent form. Siwoo Kim is 55, along with Keegan Bradley. Sepp Straka, who laid an absolute egg last week, 60-1, along with Emiliano Grillo and JT Poston. I like where JT Poston's game is. Started out well and then just kind of flopped about for a while. I think some people are going to like Denny McCarthy this week. I think I'm going to stay away. Sahith Theegala, 75-1, along with Taylor Moore. I want to look down the board a little bit because, again, you're getting four rounds here, so why not? I mean, we liked Andrew Putnam early last week. Looked like he was getting off to a good start, and then it didn't happen. Your longest shot on the board this week is 150-1, which is Seamus Power. Tom Hoagie is 150-1 as well. Kurt Kitayama, Nick Taylor, Patrick Rogers, who squeaked in on 50, they're all at 130-1. I mean, we might as well go through the full board. We're here. Eric Cole, Harris English, Brendan Todd, Adam Schenck, Adam Hadwin, all 90-1. Svensson, 100-1. Lee Hodges, Chris Kirk, 110-1. Now, that's all 50 players. That's the whole field. That's everybody. You'll notice that the plus money on the top 10 bet starts at Victor Hovland at 14 to 1, getting 1/10 that basically on the top 10. It's not exactly how that works all the time, but in this case it does. So if you're not obviously having any top 40 bets this week, not even having top 30 bets, that market's not out there, and it's not going to be out there because you only have to beat 20 guys. Tony Finau is where the even money starts on a top 20 bet. So you're looking, what, that 35-1 range is where even money starts. I think you can probably see some value in that this week, but your best top 20 bet is, I mean, your biggest odds, not your best, is plus 280. So I think your plays this week, because you still have to beat 30 guys to get in the top 20. And the 30 guys you got to beat are better than you. So if you want to play in that range, you got to play in that even money to like plus 120 range of wagers. And that goes down to Ben On, which I could see Ben On or Justin Rose or Corey Connors or Russell Henley all having a top 20 this week. That is all possible. But I don't feel like the return on that's very good. So I would rather put that money on someone to win. And if you want to go play a matchup, go play a matchup. Get it down to one golfer. Try to find some plus money there. I think you're wasting your money on a top 20 this week. Just so you know, DraftKings, they're not a partner of ours. This is just where I go to look at the odds because it's kind of an easy format for me. But plus 300, you can add to any golfer to win this week. I'm sure there's a maximum, but that's the opportunity. So if you want to look at that promo this week, then you're looking at McIlroy at 9-1, Scheffler 10-1, Rahm 12-1. Rahm 12-1 sounds a little bit more attractive than 9-1. He's not playing well enough to be 9-1. He is playing well enough to be 12-1. I like that. Matchups this week, tournament groups and three balls. I haven't seen any individual matchups yet, but I'm sure that will come out with time. But there are some interesting ones out there. The three balls might be interesting to you for a couple reasons. One, you're guaranteed four rounds. Might allow you to take some chances. Two, you're getting plus money on everybody versus a head-to-head matchup where someone's going to be, best is going to be both even money, and you don't get that in this country. You get that maybe on an offshore book, but not in this country. So, I mean, the headline one is Cantlay, Hovland, Shoffley. Cantlay plus 160, Hovland plus 180. I'll take Hovland plus 180. I'm not looking at Shoffley. I rule him out. An interesting one, Homa, Hatton, Fowler. I would take Homa plus 160. If you've got Henley, Rose, Burns, I'm going to discount Burns here. I could see either way, but I think it would take Henley. Then you've got Matsuyama plus 165 against Glover and Connors. No offense to Glover. I mean, Glover's been incredible the last 2 weeks, but I would take Matsuyama in the spot plus 165. And then the last one maybe worth noting is Cam Young Tony Finau and Benon. I mean, I love Cam Young this week. I like Benon's game. It's heading in the right direction. But I would take Cam Young at +165. Or if you're feeling froggy, Benon at +180. But I'm not going to pick Tony Finau this week. And then there's not a whole lot out there in terms of, like, you could do parlay bets for top five finishes. You can do parlay bets for top 10 finishes. No thank you. Don't need any of that. I'd rather take your tournament three balls or tournament groups matchups. Get that down to specific numbers of golfers. And for that reason, if you're looking at these five balls, you know, these five groups, five player groups, the worst odds are +250. The best is like +550, depending on the group and who you're playing against. And then you go into these top five or top 10 parlays. Well, you get a top 10 parlay. Scheffler and McIlroy is the highest on the board at +190. Why wouldn't you just take it down to five golfers and see if you can win that instead of relying on two guys in a 50-player field? Dude, like, the logic doesn't make sense. I understand the reason why they do all of this, and they're putting all the odds together, but these don't make sense. So please don't go into these top fives and tens parlays groups. Just go bet a five-player matchup, or just go bet a three-player matchup. You can get the same number, basically, for the two best players in the field. Take your pick, Rahm, Scheffler, McIlroy combined together on a top 10, and you can have three golfers against each other for four rounds. Go play those instead. Tournament props. You're going to see a winning margin prop. Four strokes or more is the expected biggest. That's the worst odds on the board. +220. I would rather take one and a playoff, +270 and +400. I'm not sure why they see a blowout here as the most likely scenario. I don't think that's going to happen. So I would bet against that feverishly. I would bet on a close finish, not a blowout win. Just don't see that. Playoff specials. Will there be one? Yes. That's +400. You can bet that this way. If you want to go against that, no is -650. So at least they're being consistent here, because sometimes they're not. And you should check this if you like betting these win and margin bet. Now, I don't like to do this every tournament, but it's a fun prop, especially when you play at the same course and you have a fair amount of history. You can narrow it down to two things you feel fairly confident about and then hope it works. And there are five on the board. You're almost always getting +250 or better. So you can come out ahead if you play the two bets and you win one of them, right? But sometimes they will misprice, will there be a playoff versus the winning margin bet. That has happened before. I'm sure it'll happen again. But sometimes you just got to check. And if you see a difference, hammer one of them if you feel like that's a possibility. Some golfer props this week. There's lead after round one, a win, basically a wire to wire. There's hole-in-one bets. I'm avoiding all that. I will probably come back. Oh, that's a very specific nationality prop. They usually have, like, top American, top English person, top British person, all these things. They have one nationality prop right now, and it is that, is there an Asian winner? Yes, +1,100. So that's very interesting, because you'd get, obviously, Benon, you'd get Hideki Matsuyama, you'd get Siwoo Kim. I mean, you get some decent players out of that, but that's a very specific bet. That's very strange to me. This week is tricky, though, trying to find value because you have a limited field, right? You know, the deepest you can go is +15,000, right? 150-1. And obviously you would not bet Tom Hoagie to win this tournament at 151 or Seamus Power at 150-1. So I think the most value you're going to find in this field is if you kind of cut yourself off at best at 75-1. I think you can probably find some value in like a Keegan Bradley at 55-1. Ball strikers kind of guy, has won this event in the past in very ugly conditions when he won an Aronimink. So maybe that's one to consider. Justin Rose, same thing, kind of fared well in this type of old golf course. So maybe you look at him for that. But I don't, you can't really go hunting down the board in triple digits. Those guys are the hangers-on, unless you feel somehow like Kurt Kitayama is going to pop up out of nowhere and do something. And maybe you do. Maybe you feel that way. But I would stay in a very specific range this week. Maybe try to pick off a couple guys in the 20s and 30s. and just sit pretty. That I'm not going to have a huge card this week. I make recommendations all day, but to put the actual money in the account and have a ticket, that's it's going to be pretty tight this week. I want to talk a little bit about the ISPS Handa World Invitational. Only the men's odds are up, which I find extremely strange because there's a women's event happening at the same exact time. So, and it's the field is published, so I don't understand why one is available and one's not. I guess we'll find out tomorrow what they think about the women's side of the draw. But this is played in Northern Ireland, two 144 player fields stretched out over two courses for 2 days. They each have a cut to the top 65 in ties. Then after the third round, they each have a cut to the top 40 exactly. Not in ties, exactly. They have like a playoff or scorecard playoff, whatever it is, to determine the final 80 who play on the last day on one course to get to a winner. That all said, we don't have, obviously, a strong field this week. We haven't seen the DP World Tour in their own event for about a month. And this event has always kind of drawn a so-so field because the purse isn't that high, frankly. And you got some decent picks here. You've got Bob McIntyre, he's 12-1. You got Victor Perez, he's 14-1. Ewan Ferguson, 16-1. Romain Langosc, who's playing well, 18-1. I'd probably pick him. Adrian Tagi, 18-1. Laurie Kanter, 20. Callum Hill at 22. Tom McKibben, who will kind of get a hero welcome at 25. I would start looking at Marcus Kinnell at 30-1. Played very well in the U.S. in the Oppo events. Showed he's definitely got the game to contend on a consistent basis. And then I would throw out a couple of other names here. I'm not going to go down the whole board here because we're getting toward the end of recording. But Alex Fitzpatrick at 40-1, just won on the European Challenge Tour. Had himself a very nice Open Championship. Seems to have drawn a lot of confidence lately. I think I would look at him at least at 40-1 as a contender to win. And then I'm a big fan of John Catlin. I'd probably look at him at 60-1. He's an American player who's had some success on the circuit, winning a few different times. But after that, I mean, you get yourself into pretty deep water pretty quickly with guys who are just struggling to play. I would tread very, very lightly this week on this tournament. Extremely lightly. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to touch this too much this week. And then while we're here, since that was quicker than I thought, let's just talk very briefly about the Shaw Charity Classic on the PGA Tour Champions. So, event in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Three-round event. Had a history in this tournament having some kind of strange winners. But Stephen Ames just won again. Fourth time this year on the Champions Tour. Won in an absolute rout. And he's 8-1. I think he's worth a look here, at least this week. And then go down a little bit more. I want to point a couple of guys out that might be a little bit deeper, especially for a PGA Tour Champions event. To look at Dickie Pride, 30-1, is having himself a great, great year. Is an interesting player to look at. And then Tim O'Neill, 150-1, just had himself his best finish on the PGA Tour Champions this season. Longtime grinder, guy playing on the APGA, the Advocates PGA Tour. He's a really interesting guy with a lot of good game. That might be someone to look to here as kind of your, oh my God, I can't believe that happened scenario at 150-1. I'm going to look at him and probably put just a few bucks, not a lot of money, 10 bucks on him. If it somehow comes home, you get a really nice payday. Doesn't cost you a lot. Gives you a little sweat on the Champions Tour guys. They'll be going out in the prime time. So worth a look there, I think. Just a couple of guys. I'm basically looking at the very top of the range and back third of the range in the 78-player field. So worth looking at this week, and I'll leave it alone there and stop for the day. All right, tomorrow we'll go over our model, talk a little bit about current form. Obviously, we don't really have horse for course here because we only have the 1 year at Olympia Fields, but we'll talk about 2020 a little bit. Obviously, played under different world, different circumstances. No people there, really. Different time in life. So a lot to discount about 2020, but we will look at it. And then hopefully they'll have the odds up for the women's draw in the ISPS Hand at World Invitational. And then on Wednesday, we'll bring it all home for final picks of the week. If you listen to us on a podcast platform, let you do so. Please give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Helps us reach more people. You get a hold of me on Twitter, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net for $99 a year. Get access to all of our tools. Admittedly, Lucas Glover was not high in our long-term model last week, but he certainly was high in the short-term model. So those tools are great in identifying longer-term quality players, but also players who are just happening to play great golf in the moment. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks for your time. We'll catch you next time right here on The Press.